does not think. Romans 10 and 10. I've got another one in Hebrews 3:12. But the mind does not think. Think about that, okay? In Romans 10:10. In Romans 10:10. The mind does not think. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us. God, we just thank you for this great words. And God, we just thank you for Jesus. And God, help your spirit. I ask God that your spirit will have freedom to move in and among and touch and change and affect and reach the heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I heard a preacher one here not too long ago make this statement. The mind does not think. And it intrigued me. And it makes sense. We found out through our son's surgery and some things like that, that the brain itself doesn't feel inside. You know, your skull and all those other things, yes. And because when they was going to do his surgery, they says, we may keep you awake. You know, we can both dead and all of that and everything in there. But when we get to actually working on the brain, we may keep you awake so we can see what we're touching here. You know, kind of like, you know, what do you feel is your, you know, make your doop doop, you know, whatever. I don't know what they was going to do. But he was a little worried about that. And he says, okay, you know. But they didn't have to do that. Because the doctor told us, the brain itself cannot feel. Now, I'm not quite sure I understand headaches, but, you know. But the mind does not think. And they can keep someone alive with just a brain stem. And they can keep someone alive without a heart or kidneys. They have to have blood. We are familiar with computers. A computer does not think. They're trying to get it to where it'll do some things. But basically, a computer language is yes and no, yes and no, yes and no, yes and no. Bar zero, bar zero, bar zero. That's its language. And it goes down through a process of elimination, like a trouble tree on something, and it comes to a conclusion. If this is this, okay, then it'll go this way. But if this isn't it, then it'll go this way. If that's right, well, then it'll go this way. But if it's right over here, it's not going to go that way. It's going to go this way. It has channels that it goes down, and it always has to get a right answer before it goes to the next step. And a computer does that very fast. And we think that a computer thinks, but it doesn't. You know, they say, well, it's a computer's fault. Well, somebody programmed the computer. You know? It's a computer. No. They hit the wrong button. The program wasn't right or whatever. The computer gets blamed for lots of things. The brain gets blamed for lots of things. But the brain does not think. The brain is programmed. Why, when a little child is growing up, they don't know what 1 + 1 is. They have the same brain at 6 years old that they had at 1 year old. It's been programmed. I heard a surgeon one time say, if we stimulate the brain with the right electronics, it can remember everything. Think of Adam. The capability of the brain. We use maybe 2%, 1/10 maybe. Adam's brain was able to have in its database all of the names of all of creation. He named all of creation. He decided a horse was going to be a horse and a cow was going to be a cow. He named all of creation, it says. Look at it in Genesis. Now this verse we read out of Romans 10:10. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. Now when we talk about heart, we're not talking about that thing in your chest. You know, it's sitting there. They say your heart's about the size of your fist. We're talking about your soul. What's the soul? One of the best ways I've found to describe a soul is I would ask the boys in junior church, do you love your mother? Yeah. You love your dad? Yeah. Do you love your dog or your cat, your gerbil or whatever? Do you love it? Yeah. I says, have you ever lost a pet? Died, got run over, got hit by a car or something like that? Have you lost a grandma or a grandpa or somebody like that? I says, you hurt inside, didn't you? And they said, yes. That place where you hurt, that's where Jesus wants to live. That's your soul. That's where Jesus wants to live. Now, when it talks about the heart here, that's what it's talking about. With the heart, man believeth. We're thinking we're believing in our mind. No. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's the heart that programs the computer. The pharaohs, when they used to embalm somebody, they took the brain out and threw it away. Because it was gray and ugly and it wasn't shiny like the liver or something. And they didn't think it was important. Because they knew the seat of emotions and the desires and what made them a human being wasn't up here between their ears. It was something inside of them. They knew that. And that's why they'd put the liver and the kidneys and the heart and all those things in these earthen jars and try and save them. And they would, through the nose and ears and different things, they'd suck all the brain out and fill it with sawdust or something so the head wouldn't collapse, you know, because it wasn't that important. When you have a tragedy or a catastrophe, where do you feel it at? In here? No. Inside you somewhere. I asked the boys in junior church after I explained about love. I says, now I want you to take out of your pocket and I want you to show me the love you have for your parents. Can't do it. Can't do it. It's not something that you can hold in your hand. It's not something you can taste. But you can feel it. And the Bible many times calls it the bowels or the reins. R-E-I-N-S, like reins on a horse, that kind of... But a literal translation is kidneys. Well, when God was inspiring the people to put down the Bible in English... As so you think in your kidneys, so you are. That wasn't going to work. And God knew that. Now a Hebrew would understand. That's why they use reins in the Bible. Because it we understand it's reins that control and guide and direct our life. Now, in Hebrews 3:12, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." An evil heart of unbelief. Evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief about God. A soul that doesn't believe about God is an evil soul. There is a lot of evil going on out in this world. Some things that are beyond understanding in the human race. Things the animal kingdom won't even do. That humans do to other humans. Because they don't know God. And they're programmed by an evil soul. No conscience for death. No fear of death. Shoot somebody, drive by, whatever. Don't care. No feeling. You know, our hearts went out when we saw all the death and all the things that happened in the earthquake in Port-au-Prince. Why? Because we have a soul. And that hurts us. You ever raised dogs or horses or sheep or cats or anything like that? They don't mourn for the death of another horse. You drive and see a dead cow, they don't mourn. They don't have a soul. In Proverbs 23:7. Right after Psalms, Proverbs 23:7. "For as he think in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23:7. "Eat and drink, saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee." It doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what they're doing. If their heart's not in it, it's all a farce. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Thinks in the heart. Doesn't think in the mind. Thinks in his heart. In Romans 12:2, it says, "By the renewing of your mind, you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renewing of the mind. The first verse says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A Christian has to renew their mind. A Christian has to wipe the hard drive and start over again. A Christian has to change the way they think. You've been programmed for so long this way, and you think this way for so long because that's how your heart has programmed it, you got to renew your mind, you got to change the programming. You've got to think different. And it's the heart that has to change before the thoughts can change. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." You got it all up here. You know who Jesus is. You know He died on the cross. You know He rose from the grave. You believe He's born of the Virgin. You believe He was sinless. You believe He's in heaven. You got all that stuff up here. You understand all of that. You accept all of that. Hey, that's not a problem. I know. I believe all that stuff. Yes. Because you've got that information in your computer. But with the heart, man believeth. That part of you where you love, that part of you down in your bowels that God touches with things that happen in your life. That's where you've got to believe. That's what you've got to give to Jesus. That's what you've got to let Him have. That's what you've got to invite into. Paul said, "I know who I believe, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Paul didn't give him his brain. Give me soul. That's where Jesus wants to live. The part of you that makes you what you are. Your soul. The Bible calls it your heart. Sometimes it calls it bowels. Sometimes it calls it soul. But we know this boom, 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 boom in here doesn't program this. That's a muscle. Hey, I seen a guy on TV. He's got a machine on the outside of him here. He's got battery pack on it. He don't even have a heart that's working. They transplant hearts out of somebody. Remember the old Frankenstein movies? Where this mad doctor would send all these people out to the cemetery and they'd get a hand from this one and a foot from that one and a head from this one and he'd sew them all together and big old lightning storm and all this light and flashing and all this stuff and sparks would fly and this guy, ooh, and he'd come alive, you know? Remember those? Well, you know, the story goes, he got the hand from a murderer, you know. So then this guy goes out with his hand and tries to kill people, you know. Because it was the hand. No. It's the soul. Yeah, but that's Hollywood's or Hollywood's version of it, you know. It wasn't my fault. I can't control my temper. I just have a short fuse. Well, those words just slip out. No. That's what you've programmed your brain. When you hit F7 on the computer, that goes to spell check. Why? Because that's the way it's programmed. That's the way it's programmed. When you hit your finger with a hammer, and what comes out is what is programmed. Heard a little kid say some words. They just didn't pull those out of the air. They heard them somewhere. They saw it somewhere. They learned it somewhere. I remember when our son was just a toddler, and we picked him up out of the nursery. And he comes out of the nursery, and he comes up and says, "Let's go get a beer." You know, like that. At the nursery, at church, you know. Well, I says, "Whoa, well, what them guys are doing in there in the nursery, you know, what they're talking about, you know." I mean, we didn't drink or anything like that, you know. Where'd he heard it somewhere. And you know what? That program always picks up the wrong things. And it always remembers those wrong things. That's why you have to renew your mind when you get saved. You have to change the way you think. The only way you can change the way you think is to reprogram it. And how do you do that? By putting good stuff in. If our brain was a little more like a computer, it might be a lot simpler. When somebody would get saved, we'd pull out their USB cable, and we'd plug them into the pulpit up here, or the Bible or something other, and we'd erase them and reprogram them, and they'd walk out, and they'd be just fine. But we can't do that, huh? God didn't make us that way. He gave us a free will, which is programmed by the heart, the soul. There used to be a song the kids would sing, input, output, input, output. You know, input, output. And it had all these sounds in the background and stuff like that. And it was talking about what you put in is what you get out. Input, output. What you program, that's what you get out. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why you got to have a new heart. Born again. Born again, as he told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John. You must be born again. Nicodemus says, "Can I enter a second time in my mother's womb?" No. That's what he's talking about. He was a grown man. Jeremiah, I think it was Ezekiel, Jeremiah says, "I'll take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh." In the sun, which we don't have too much of today, you put a piece of mud out there, or clay, and you put a candle out there in the same sun. It will harden the clay. It will soften the candle. Which are you? Are you pliable so that the Son of God can take your life and reprogram it? Are you hardened and stiff? Which are you? Got to change the heart. Nothing's going to happen if you don't change the heart. You can go to all kinds of programs. You can go through all kinds of counseling. You can go through all kinds of patches and whatever you want to do. Unless the heart is changed, unless the programming is changed, unless the mind is renewed, nothing will be fixed. AA says you're going to always be an alcoholic. No. When you get born again, you're changed. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're born again. The flesh, the old hard rock is taken out and a soft heart is put in. One that God can work with. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Philippians 2:5. Ephesians 4:23, by the renewing in the spirit of your mind. There was a man that Jesus went across the sea to go visit. This man lived in the tombs. He lived in the cemetery. Amongst all the dead bodies. Mark chapter 5. Gadareans is the area he lived in. Jesus goes across. As soon as the boat touches land, this man runs out immediately to see him. This man had been bound up with fetters. Those, like the chains and stocks that they put him in. This man had broken those. This man had broken those chains. This one man. It wasn't a fixed chain. It was a real chain. And he broke them. He was running around in the tombs in the cemetery naked. Wailing and moaning all night and crying out. Wild, crazy noises. Cutting himself with stones. And the people were afraid of him. He saw Jesus afar off and he ran and he worshiped Jesus. He had a demon in him. And the demon cried out, "What have I to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." The demon screamed from this man. And Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are many." Man got saved. In verse 15. And they came to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil, that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. His mind got changed because his heart got changed. He was sitting there in his right mind, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. You want to keep your mind reprogrammed, then you set it at the feet of Jesus. How do you set it at the feet of Jesus? One way is right here in this book. One way is right where you're at now. Another way is on your prayers. Set it at the feet of Jesus and He'll reprogram the way you think. They were afraid. They couldn't tame this man. The world couldn't tame this man. The chains couldn't tame this man. They had no way to help this man. They didn't know what to do with him. The world has no cure for Satan. They couldn't do anything with him. But the Holy Spirit did. Sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. Side note here. Nakedness isn't part of God's plan. There's some things only maybe your doctor and your spouse should see. That's just a side note there. But anyway. He was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Because he got changed. They were afraid. They'd never seen this kind of power before. God has power to change your life. God has power to reprogram this gray matter up here. What did your mamas used to tell me? What do you think that is? Just a hat rack? Talking about your head, you know? What's that brain for? Just to keep your ears from flapping together? Use it. She was trying to train me. My wife's still working on it. But thanks to Jesus, they got something to work with. You know, sometimes you can't fix the computer. It's shorted out. But God's in the miracle business. Do you want to change? Are you willing to let Jesus reprogram the way you think? You know, when I take a computer into the store, I have to trust them. I have to trust them. Do you trust God? He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him? God, here I am, man. Here I am. I'm yours. Do whatever you got to do, God. Here I am. I'm opening up my hard drive and I'm exposing everything to you. You just fix it, God. I know I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I know I did wrong. I'm sorry. I don't want to do wrong, God. Help me. Help me. Help me. I'm yours. I'm giving you myself, God. Take me. I'm trusting you. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't take me your soul out and show it to me. But we can see the results of God when He touches one. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's not seen, but there's results. It will work. If you will let God work in your life, I guarantee you by the Word of God that He can straighten out your life. I'm not going to say He's going to fix everything you've messed up. But I guarantee you He can make your life better than it is now. Hey, you go rob Circle K. You get saved in jail. You're still in jail. But you're forgiven and saved. There's some sowing and reaping. We've planted some weeds and they're going to come through. But God will help you mow them down. God will help you keep them under control. Or this word, this book is a lie. And if there be no resurrection, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If this ain't true, then what are we doing here? What difference does it make? Let's just go out and live it up. But it is true. And you know it's true because God told you so. You feel God in your heart and you don't know what to do with it. Just give it to Him. Just give it to Him. Here I am, God. I'm laying it out, man. Here I am. Take me. Work me. Reprogram me. I'm trusting You, God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. What would God have you to do? Jesus, thank You for loving me. Jesus, thank You for what You did on the cross. Jesus, thank You. Thank You beyond my understanding, God. Thank You. God, I ask that Your Spirit will take charge. And those here that don't know You as their Savior, that today will be the day that they get it right with You. Thank You, Jesus.